Hello and welcome to Battle of the Ranking Factors. I am Connor, your esteemed host. With me today, as always, are Bert and Jess. Today's episode is called We've Got a Person in Office Handling That. What that means is that we are going to talk through some stories of things that we've seen in the industry where business owners maybe didn't prioritize the correct things when it comes to their website. And we'll give you some examples and talk through some trends that we saw because of those decisions. So, Jess, what I would like you to do is kick it off with your first story.
Yeah. So my first story actually has to do with a business that had multiple websites. And what they were doing was they were essentially paying for SEO services on all websites, but were trying to get the best bang for their buck, or what they thought they were, I should say. They were taking content that was custom to one of the websites and then literally copying and pasting it verbatim to their other websites. They also were not necessarily telling us that they were doing that. And so we had missed the couple first initial times that they had done that on their website, where then we were creating like actual custom content similar to that topic or theme that then was competing with itself, but also competing with kind of the rest of the stores as a brand. And with that, they weren't targeting keywords that were necessarily going to help them gain that visibility in the SERP, based on kind of the location of each of where those businesses were based. So it also copying and pasting verbatim, they were missing on some of those localized keywords that really would have helped them, because there was a knowledge gap there that that content was similar in the sense of the topic and the theme, but was being tweaked customly for those localized keywords.
What was the rationale? Like what were they trying to do?
I don't even remember. And, it's hard because that's an education. It's a knowledge gap of saying, like, we understand that, like, you thought that you were helping speed things along for yourself, for your website. But, like, realistically, especially because there wasn't transparency there that that was happening. Now we've duplicated this work when we could have said, we get that you're trying to get this up fast. Let's do something more boilerplate. We'll enhance in the future. We could have worked with them to actually create a plan to help them kind of, if they really wanted that content up immediately, work from there, right? So I think it was kind of, they just wanted it up immediately right away kind of thing, and thought that copying and pasting and then not telling us they were doing that was going to help them kind of get to that goal faster versus it, that content actually providing the value that it was supposed to be based on the strategy we were giving.
That's hilarious. I think the moral of the story there is don't have duplicate websites.
You really? Yeah. And I think too, you know, I know it's hard, but like for a lot of people who aren't doing SEO to understand why a certain strategy is in place, but also, just if you have multiple websites, because you have multiple locations for a business, those locations might need different things based on how they're performing in the SERPs. So also just duplicating that doesn't actually mean that you're going to be helping your website. You're, you know, the strategy's in place for a very specific reason. So, you know, definitely if you do have concerns about like, hey, this piece of content I really want on multiple places, have that discussion with your, you know, SEO consultant or specialist or provider and ask, you know, what's the strategy? Why aren't we doing this across the board versus just thinking that copying and pasting is going to be the solution there?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's going to be a real common thread through a lot of our stories is just simple educational decisions that are at no fault of the strategist specialist at hand. It's very much just a lack of sometimes understanding what may be going on and what all the effort that we put into these things are.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think there's a common thread too of like, it sounds silly, but an SEO, the SEO that you're working with in whatever capacity should honestly be informed of all of your business goals and all of your marketing plans, because there's a lot of areas that you can interfere or get in the way of each other, or like, something that you're deciding to do for one reason is going to drastically hurt SEO. So just make sure that your SEO whatever capacity you're working with them, is involved in all of your plans so that they can work best.
And transparently, if you don't feel like you can like consult or talk to your SEO specialist about that, maybe you're not with the right SEO team, right? Like, you should be able to feel comfortable talking to your SEO, poking holes. They should be able to share that information back with you. And if they're not, probably a red flag that they're, maybe you need to look elsewhere.
Yeah, that's well said. Okay, Bert, talk us through your first story.
Oh, so this one's a fun one. I think all of us have experienced some variation of this coming from an agency world in the past. And that is, you're speaking to a business owner about the long-term strategy that you've been working on, maybe 6, 7, 8 months down the road that you've been working on their website. And then suddenly the marketing manager's nephew decided to start college and is really interested in marketing. And they decide to cut off the services that they've been providing and the growth and the trajectory and plan that you've been building and say, well, you know what? Well, my nephew's in college now and he likes this stuff, so he's going to take this over from you guys. Like, it just ties exactly into the conversation of this educational side, and not saying that this person or any person in this situation isn't educated on the topic, but they may not have the same focus or strategy that we have been putting in and implementing for the past 6 to 7, 8 months at this time and seeing growth and seeing success. You know, and it's a true cautionary tale, being that I think everyone on this call has seen it more than once in a client situation, and they take it on, they drop off our services or you're providing services for that given time. And not only do they continue to take credit, or they kind of, the reason we know this is, you know, another 4 months down the line, we get a call back from this client saying, hey, we're interested in starting back up again because, you know, that nephew may have been taking credit for the work that was already growing. That's usually a telltale sign number one, saying, yeah, SEO is growing, but it's nothing new. We can look at the site and see that there's been nothing changed or adjusted since they departed. And then it kind of ties into the next thing, because they're not actually doing anything to continue that growth. So they're kind of riding the train of what had already been done, the work, because we all know SEO kind of continues to function, but without, you know, ongoing upkeep and revision, eventually that train starts to slow down. And that's usually when the conversation comes back in of, well, we're interested in maybe starting over or working into a new partnership, a new agreement, because that didn't work out. And it's something I think a lot of agencies, a lot of SEOs in the world can relate to, because there's very common notion that anyone can do it, which anyone can learn. All of us started somewhere, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the strategy and the thought and the research and everything that was put into a very long thought out plan that had been executed to a certain extent can just be swiped off the board because, well, your nephew is really interested in marketing. So it is a tale of, again, education, but also knowing that there is a lot of thought and process that goes behind a lot of the decision us as SEOs make. Yep. And it seems to get overlooked sometimes at, you know, cost reasons or family reasons, anything under the sun. But it's just something that, again, Jess kind of said it very, very well, which is trusting the people that you're working with and being open to the discussion of maybe there's a way that it could be worked out. If we are already providing this and say you have someone coming in, you know, well, maybe there could be some sort of consulting program that we could work on to help that person. And maybe it does lead to a good relationship down the road. And maybe that doesn't necessarily mean continued financial payment for the work, but you're at least handing it off in good terms. You're having a good relationship. And then I think all of us have seen 9 times out of 10 client ends up coming back anyway, because they want to continue and maintain the results that they may have seen prior. So it's, you know, working with those clients to better help them understand what the value of everything you're doing is so imperative, especially when they come in and say, well, this person's just going to do it who has no experience to maybe have done in the past.
Yeah, that's, I think that actually transitions super well into my first story. And it's a similar tale. So we were working with a group that had like, I think it was like 15 sites that we were doing SEO services for. And they, without telling us, ended up hiring an in-house guy. But what they, when they made that hire, they told us that they were still interested in keeping our services, as it was like within the room of their budget. And this guy was just going to kind of take on the relationship with us and start doing the work. And like, I'm not here to say that people are wrong with their budgets or they don't tell vendors like that their budgets are accurate, you know, do you? But in this scenario, what ended up happening was a week after that new guy started, we had a meeting with him and the business owner, and we reviewed what we were going to do, what our priorities were for the next, you know, 12 months, because we had that big plan built out. And then we reviewed what his priorities were, and they were very split. They were very like different priorities. He was going to heavily focus on the technical side, and we were going to heavily focus on building out content. And so it worked really well, ideally. Like it made sense as a good partnership. But then the next day we got the notice that they were going to drop services for all of the sites. So I kept reviewing those, and within like a couple months, because the content aspect wasn't being taken care of, all of their sites started dropping in rankings and traffic like crazy. And again, I'm not here to say that you like have to pay for things that you can't necessarily afford, like if that's the case. But what I think matters most is that you don't just turn something off right away that has been implemented at least a certain percentage and then has a plan built out for the next, you know, 12 months. You should have a transition period where you say, like, look, in 3 months, we are, unfortunately, we have to stop paying for the service. Can we work on a transition period so you can like show us what you were going to work on, where we're at with all of that XYZ? And Bert, to your point, it keeps the relationship solid so that in 6 months, if they ended up wanting to come back, we felt good about the transition work. We could just pick up right where we left off. I think it's just important to make sure that when you are paying for a marketing service that has a long-term vision, to not just turn that off at any given moment, because then you're kind of stuck in like the third month of a 12-month plan. So just make sure you have it like that, you know, transparent conversation about shutting off a service, given enough time so that you can set yourself up as best as possible. So yes, in summary, don't just cut things off without warning.
Relationships mean so much more in the SEO world than I think people give them credit. You want to be a human, you want to establish good, consistent relationships with your business partners and your clients. And, you know, I feel like so many times we hear in this world that they just don't trust. And it's like, if you can continue to maintain a quality relationship of trust and, you know, consistency, it goes so long and it goes so far in the partnerships and potential future relationships with those, you know, those business plans.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Okay, Jess.
So my second story plays off of kind of both of what you guys have talked about. And it's about having someone internally assist that we turned. It started out super negative, right? We could tell that the client we were working with was clearly building their own content on their website while we were simultaneously building content. And we were very transparent of, this is our 6 month plan. This is the content that we're going to be building. Here are the keywords we're focused on. This is the impact we want to have. And it seemed like they were trying to have their internal person create content to help bolster that. But instead it ended up kind of competing with us on that localized level heavily. And they refused to share with us what the game plan was with that, what they were doing. And it kind of had created this, like, who's better at said work than the other, and kind of fostered this really negative relationship, as we were trying to get results. And I should mention that this was hyper-focused on local, strictly localized content. And, you know, transparently, you know, when you have a SEO team that doesn't live in the region that you live in, doesn't live in the town that you live in, sometimes it is harder to curate that super localized content. I don't know the area of San Francisco as well as someone who lives in San Francisco does. I can Google and read Yelp and all of the review places of what people are attracted to, but maybe that's not necessarily the best actual local thing to go do out there, right? And it took us a long time, but we were eventually able to turn that into a relationship of, hey, you guys can handle all that hyper-localized stuff. Let us help you find those keywords, though, to layer in that complements our strategy as well, and turn it into kind of that learning opportunity. And in the beginning, it was definitely like hard. It's hard to, especially, you know, when you're thinking about like the difference between like an SEO versus like a digital marketer. Like a digital marketer is thinking sometimes, I think, along the lines of, you know, that voice of content, let's get people engaged, let's get them just interested in us, versus SEO is like, let's get you visible in the SERPs, let's get you kind of that traffic going there, right? So the goals are also different for us, and how can we work together to make that successful is very hard. So kind of a like what used to be a horror story turned into a win, where now that client handles all super localized content. And if we see anything that as an opportunity for like an enhancement to that page, saying, hey, this like local page you guys built is doing really, really well, but like bolster it with these keywords and, you know, we expect to see growth. We can kind of have that conversation and that knowledge sharing there, where we're not stepping on each other's toes. We're not duplicating work, but we're also attacking keywords and search together versus against each other. And that comes from having that transparency and that relationship to say, hey, like, I'm not trying to, you know, compete with you on this. I'm happy to assist though. And here's how, you know, we can do that together. But I definitely would recommend against, obviously, like if you have someone internally that is doing some sort of SEO work, or that falls kind of under that realm of what SEO might be touching, it is definitely more like, you know, just however you're splitting up the cost of that, it's definitely worth your money to have them collaborate versus keeping them separate. You're gonna get a better overall just website and online marketing strategy if you have them collaborate together versus keeping them siloed from each other. And the best thing you can kind of do as that business owner is, I think, like encourage that relationship and foster that and have them sit on calls together, have them talk through kind of how they can, you know, improve that as a team versus as separate entities just working for you.
Yeah, I think it usually goes without saying, even though I'm going to say it, that more than one SEO is better than one. You know, like learning and collaborating from each other is going to lead to better results than just having a single person, or having single persons like not talking to each other and competing. Because that's just silly. Okay, Bert, second story, go.
Wow, just so rapid fire here, sir. I just wasn't, you know. This is actually the, almost the epitome of the namesake of this episode. And again, a very common issue. It's kind of, again, conversation that you have, and it definitely leans in heavier to the early stages of starting SEO and the salesy kind of perspective of it, where you're talking to a potential client and you're having these conversations of where the opportunities may be and what you could provide for them as a service. And you're talking about all this opportunity, and then you just get hit with kind of that bat to the face that says, oh, well, we have a lady in the office that does this or can do this. And how do you approach that? Like, what do you do? Like, how do you take that the next step? How do you get them to be interested with your services? Because it's this conversation that happens so often, where even just from the baseline of trying to explain the opportunities of SEO and where we're seeing that we could provide service and, you know, take on this opportunity to grow their SEO presence, and they just say, ah, well, you know, good old, I don't know, woman insert name here, can take care of that. She does that for us already, or he does that for us already, or they do that, whatever it may be. But it comes up all the time. And this is not to discredit that person and their skills at maybe being a writer. They very well could be a great editorial writer, but it, you know, it comes all back to that educational conversation of, just because you're an editorial writer does not necessarily mean you are an SEO expert or in have an SEO skills to adapt that copy to be something that is SEO valuable. I just had this conversation with a coworker of mine today about the disconnect that so often happens between copywriters and SEOs, where they write something, but then they come to you and say, oh, well, how can I make this better for SEO? It's like, well, okay, there's ways that you can do that, but this is a lot better when you start from the get-go of here is the SEO opportunity, here is the SEO keywords, here is competition, here is an H1, a title, a meta. These are all things that we should be incorporating from the get-go and not trying to rewrite and change what may already exist, which when you have an editorial style writer, they may not have that knowledge of finding all of those little tidbits of information to better the copy themselves. We all know SEO content and copy is best written for the user, which obviously editorial writers are very good at doing, but they may not know what to necessarily include in that copy to get it to have the value that we're looking to attack. So what does that lead you to do? That obviously leans in the question of one, patience, knowing that this isn't a conversation that may be able to flip a switch overnight, but also lean into the educational side of your background and showing the difference between what those two things may be. And then ideally, once again, building that relationship with either a potential client or a current client of saying, you know, you can trust us in doing this, or at the very least, let us get into the early stages of those conversations and say, okay, you do want to write about topic A. Well, here's topic A. Here is the opportunities that exist within topic A. Here's what the top competitors are doing talking about topic A. Now let's actually create something from the ground up about that to better not only our competition, but also serve users exactly what they're looking for and provide a great user experience. It's just so often that we as SEOs get pulled in after the fact, and it just because you're a great editorial writer does not always mean you're a great SEO, and that is not any sort of knock on an editorial writing by any means. It's just they have their purpose, and trying to best your organic presence doesn't always attach to the greatest editorial piece you've ever read in your life. So it's just another common cautionary tale of sales side of SEO, talking with potential clients and understanding that they need a little bit more help in understanding what the value may be and what we actually do.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. In this, yet another perfect transition. My last story isn't even really a specific story, but it's more of just advice for a business owner. And we said this earlier in the episode, is to make sure that your SEO should be involved in pretty much all marketing conversations and plans. But it's also important to realize that you can't constantly shift priorities each week, because then your site is never going to catch up when you shift your priority again, and then Google is just going to see your site as a different thing every week, and it's going to be wildly confused. So make sure that you, while you're involving your SEO in all of these conversations, make sure that you give them the space and the time to implement long-term changes and strategies. Otherwise, you're just going to be like a dog chasing its tail. Your site's never going to actually like index and rank for the thing that you need it to, because you're constantly shifting, like, oh, we're actually going to do this now, and then we're going to do that, and then we're going to change, and we're going to go back to that first thing. Just doesn't work like that, especially when it comes to your website and your identity.
And I don't want people to think, though, that like SEOs are stubborn mules. Like, we will adjust strategy as needed, you know, and especially with like algorithm updates and the way that the SERPs change, we do shift. We will make those shifts as needed. But that should be, again, a conversation had, not like a we're going to do it every month kind of thing. But
yeah, we're not asking for blind trust. We're asking for built trust over time with conversations and communication about the business needs and what you may be looking for out of our services. That's, I think, the most any SEO could ever ask for, is just a true partnership. And we never will walk into a discussion assuming blind trust. We completely understand the need for built up confidence, but, you know, be open to the conversations of what we may be seeing. Don't just say that you know it better, or your nephew knows it better, or that the lady in the office can do it maybe better than we can. To be honest, she probably can write 1,000 times better than I can. But
we know that part.
Everyone knows that if you've ever seen me try to write any sort of cohesive piece of content. That's why I have friends that are much better writers than I am. But it's never an ask of blind trust. It's an ask for an opportunity to gain that trust and ideally build something together.
Yeah, and I actually remember, it was funny, I did a case study a long time ago where I looked at like 10 super engaged clients and then 10 clients that like never talked to us ever once. And the clients that never talked to us ever, we actually generated a lot more traffic. But the clients that we were engaged with, we generated way more conversions because the business goals were more aligned. And the other ones, we just kind of generated traffic because there was no involvement and we didn't really know what their end goal was.
Can I ask, Connor? So the ones, because this is something too, that just while we're on the topic, when you have a client that's engaged, would you recommend that they reach out to their SEO specialist every day, every week, once a month? Like, again, too, thinking about like how much information do typical SEOs actually need? What would your recommendation be for business owners or individuals working with vendors? How often should they be talking to their SEO about their strategy?
Good question. Everyone get ready to take a shot. It depends. I would say that if you're working with a new agency or provider or specialist, you'd want to have more communication often, because you not only want to understand what type of strategy they're building, but then how they're implementing that strategy. If you've been working with a person, a vendor, for 12 months and you know that they know your business, then you could probably cut back and not talk as much and just kind of trust that they handle things, but let them know when something is changing on your end. So I think as time goes on and as trust is built, you don't need to be doing review calls as often, but early on, I would probably recommend at the very least doing it monthly. But you know, it depends. okay. So I have a summary that I wrote down from that I want to run through. So please interrupt me if there's something that you want to add into my summary. Okay. So I took it the whole page. You guys can see, but the audience can't. It's a whole page of notes. I'm impressive as a host. So summary point number one, don't have two sites that are targeting the same thing. Pretty simple, right? Number two, don't just cut off any sort of marketing without a transition plan. Like if you just cut all of your ads, that's not good. If you cut all of your SEO services, that's also not good. You should have some sort of transition plan to like, okay, we're going to cut this. What are we going to move it into? Or what are we going to do instead? Blah, blah, blah. You guys know that. Trust and involve your SEO. So make sure that they're aware of any changes, anything you want to focus on, your priorities, that kind of thing. When you have an in-house SEO person and you're working with an agency, make sure that they're collaborating and working together and not competing against each other, because that's just not going to help you. And on top of that, clarify with your clients. So this is for us. Clarify with your clients who is doing what at your business. So make sure that you know, like, okay, this person's doing copywriting, this person uploads it, this person does whatever. You should know who's doing what at the place that you're doing services for. If someone is managing your website, they should at least understand SEO basics and best practices. So that includes person at the office who's handling that. If you're going to trust someone to handle what your website looks like and does, you should make sure that they also have some sort of basic SEO training. And then the last thing is, SEO needs to be involved in all marketing strategies. I think I duplicated that note, but they need to be aware of all of your marketing strategies and they need to be given the space and the time to implement a long-term strategy and not having to constantly change things every week. Depending on if you change your goals every week. Did I miss anything?
Nah, I think to Bert's point, the baseline of what a lot of the stories of, you know, this topic are kind of in the similar vein of, you know, just collaboration, communication, understanding of basics of SEO if you can, versus I've got a nephew straight out of college who wants to take a stab at this thing. I know.
We're and really not to like ever like nephews.
Never to ever nephews like discourage someone from learning. I think you can, but you know, I think it depends on you just expect then that maybe that organic strategy you're taking a hit until they really figure out how and learn more about SEO to be able to create a strategy like that.
Well, I've got two more summary points that we didn't talk about. Maybe we talk about them in a future episode. Don't hire two agencies and see, quote, which one does better, and then keep that one. And then also, if your agency has to hire another agency to figure out what they do or are doing that works because they can't figure it out, you should probably just hire the agency that they hired rather than the one that you're paying right now. So those are the last two points. Jesse looked confused, but both of those happened at
I don't think
place.
I was just thinking. Yeah.
We'll talk.
I get to like a lot of businesses, you know, budget's really important, especially when it comes to marketing. And so definitely, you know, last two cents, I guess, is just like poke holes in your SEO's provider strategy. Like if they can't break down and explain very well and clearly to you what their game plan is, probably worth questioning them, whether that's somebody in office or a third party provider or anyone you're working with. They should be able to explain to you multiple ways how they're doing something. And if they can't, probably worth questioning their strengths in, you know, just SEO knowledge and application.
If you have questions on what your provider is doing, please feel free to reach out to OnPar Digital or Deep Web SEO, and we can help you with that. Anyway, we'll close this out. I'm Connor again. Thanks, Bert. Thanks, Jess. Please listen to us on wherever you listen to your podcasts. Give us 5 stars and only 5 stars or else. Otherwise, listen to us next week when we talk about something. We'll figure out what the topic is. I'm not sure. Bye-bye.